This is a real privilege to be a speaker at the 12th annual Global Prayer Network Conference. Wow. 12 years ago, Grace came to me and said, I want to start a prayer line. And I thought, what's that? Then she told me, and I thought, people will call in to a phone number and pray together? Won't that be a little loud and confusing? I mean, but it works great, doesn't it? Oh, it's wonderful. And I'm telling you, the miracles that have happened because of the Global Mission Prayer Network is just astonishing. So it's great to be part of it. Matthew 10:1 is our theme for this conference. Matthew 10 and verse 1. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles to minister ahead of him. And this is where he starts that process. And it says, "And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." So my job this weekend is to do some teaching. The purpose of the Mission Prayer Network is the ministry of healing and deliverance. That's what we're going to learn about today. And matter of fact, you can expect today and some tomorrow to learn about how God has called every one of us, including the littlest ones of us, to heal the sick and cast out demons. You're going to learn about the spiritual gifts that God has given us for these very tasks of ministry. Some call them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And who are the gifts to? Are they to the person doing the ministry, or are they to the person receiving the ministry? I think you're going to learn some new things about that. Can everybody operate in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You're going to learn about that. I'm going to suggest that if you can, take notes, especially write down the scriptures, because we're going to cover a lot of ground, and you're going to want to go back over this. Some of it, you're going to say, I never thought about that before. And so you're going to want to study it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. You're going to learn today how to hear the Holy Spirit in prophetic gifts. You're going to receive an impartation for spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to minister that way. You're going to get a chance to activate those gifts in your lives. There's a difference between having a gift imparted to you and you activating that gift and working with it. Tomorrow, I hope that we will get to talk more about healing. We're going to talk more about prophetic gifts today. I'll describe to you the 5 kinds of healing tomorrow, and we're going to give God a chance to do some healing. I think he wants to do some healing today too, but we'll just see what he wants to do, okay? Let's have some fun. So we read Matthew 10:1, where Jesus sends out the 12, the apostles. Those were the leaders of this new church that was about to be birthed. In verse 8, he tells them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. In verse 10, he told them, I'm delegating to you guys, the authority that I have to heal the sick and cast out demons. And then he tells them specifically, I want you to go do that. Now, if you turn over to chapter 10, I think, Margaret, you read both of these. I thought, well, I guess maybe you're going to quote all my scriptures today. I don't know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10. So we see in Matthew where Jesus sends out the 12. And turn it down to about 63. No, you can't do that. Okay. Turn to Luke 10, and in verse 1, we see, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him into every city and place. So Jesus was traveling with a pretty good-sized group of people, it sounds like, right? I mean, he had at least these 12 guys that were with him. And for Kenyans, this is going to be easy to imagine. Can you imagine that those 12 guys were cooking their own food and cleaning their own dishes? Not a chance. They had women with them. Might have had wives. They certainly, if they had women with them, they certainly had kids with them, right? And they didn't just have the 12 leaders, but there were others that were following them around too, watching what Jesus was doing, listening to his teaching, becoming literally part of the ministry. And here Jesus says, I'm going to pick 70. Now, maybe 70 was the all there was. It doesn't tell us it was 70 men, by the way. It could have been 50 men and 20 women. Who knows? Lord knows that women can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well or better than we men can. So we don't know. All we know is it was 70 people that weren't leaders. They were just ordinary people. Okay, he calls them. And what does he tell them? Let's see. Go down to verse 9. Oh, he tells them the same thing. He says, and heal those in the village where you go that are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then when they come back, look at verse 17. I think Bishop was quoting this verse this morning. When the 70 returned, it says, they returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, I want to blow you away with a scripture. Turn to Mark 16. And you're going to have to open your mind to believe this one. Because we talk about those who are called the great man of God that's called to the great ministry of healing or what are deliverance or whatever. But listen to what Jesus told his disciples, his followers. And it's the Bible says there were about 500 people there with him when he told them this. This is right before he ascends into heaven. And he's telling them, this is what I expect you to, folks to do. In verse 17, he says, and these signs will accompany those of you who have gone to seminary and gotten ordained by a church. Oh, that's not what it says. These signs will follow just the special holy people that you'll call men or women of God. What does it say? It says these signs will follow those who have believed. So I know that Paul and Helen have a couple of kids. One was, I think, 7. The other was 5. They have Jesus in their heart already, right? See? They are believers. We're all believers here. This is who Jesus is talking to. These signs will follow. This, he expects this. I want these signs to follow every believer. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And you go down to the bottom of verse 18. He says, and they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Every one of us is called to lay hands on the sick and see him recover and to cast out demons. Does that mean God has called you to a healing ministry or deliverance ministry and travel around the world? I don't know. Maybe, but probably not. But for those around you that need deliverance or need healing, how else is he going to touch them? He's living inside of you and he sees these people. He sees their hurt. He wants to touch them. You're it. We were in Uganda, this was, I guess, a year ago. And one of the things that we do when we travel is we pray for the sick, as you might can imagine. And one of the things that I like to do, I was with a team of about 10 people, my wife and I and 8 other people. And what we were doing was after a teaching session, we were praying for the sick. There were about 400 or 500 people that were lined up. Each of us was standing in a tent. And there were a bunch of people lined up. And what would happen is as one minister would finish praying for somebody, they'd send them out the tent that way. And then they'd get the next person in line to come over to that station to be prayed for. And so a lady came over to my station. She's middle-aged, and she limped over there. And I come to find out she was mostly paralyzed on her left side. And so she couldn't walk hardly, and she could just barely move her arm. I need somebody to help me with this. Can you come up here for just a sec? You're going to be the model here, okay? You're going to be the lady that's sick. Now, this lady is partially paralyzed on her left side. And how many of you know that it's probably not a good thing for us men to reach over and touch some woman's thigh? Okay. And so I did what I enjoy doing anyway. The next person in line just happened to be an 18-year-old girl. And I told her to come over. So she comes over, you know, what's he doing here? And I said, so you know that Jesus has anointed you to heal the sick, right? No. Oh, sure. And I quoted Mark 16 to her. And I said, so I'm going to anoint your hands. And I had her hold her hands out like this. And I anointed her hands with oil and prayed a little prayer over. And said, so now you're going to be able to pray for this lady that's sick. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, sure you can. Oh, no, I've never done it. I don't know how to do that. Oh, yeah, you're going to be able to do it. Just trust me. Okay. And so I told her, I said, so lay one hand on the thigh and lay the other hand on the arm. And just let's pray a short prayer of commandment. And we're going to command that paralysis, whatever has caused it from the root of it, we're going to command it to be healed in Jesus' name. And she said, okay. And she prayed that prayer of commandment. And we prayed for, you know, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. We didn't pray around the world. And then I said, okay, now let's stop praying and let's ask the woman if she's noticing anything, feeling anything. And so she was able to move her legs. Oh, I can move my leg a little bit and I can raise my arm a little bit more. And so I told this 18-year-old, pray for her again. And she goes, okay. And so she, you know, laid hands on the thigh, laid hand on the arm, prayed for her again. We asked her, okay, how's it now? Oh, yeah, yeah, I can, but is it completely healed? No, not yet. Okay, let's pray for her again. So this 18-year-old prayed for her again, you know. And you can go sit down. Thank you. And the lady was completely healed. She was dancing and shouting and waving both hands over her hand head as she went out that tent. And so that young girl that prayed for her, I took her hands in my hands and I touched her palms and I said, see these hands? Those were the hands that Jesus used to heal that lady. And it dawned, her eyes got big, her mouth up. I said, how did that feel? She said, it was wonderful. You understand the implications of this? Jesus has delegated his authority to heal the sick and to cast out devils, and that's what he expects us to do. But Canon Dan, how do we do that? Well, we do these miracles exactly the same way that Jesus did. And that's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I taught on this on the prayer line a couple of weeks ago in detail, but I'm going to give you the short version of it tonight, today, okay? That's what you're here to learn about, to be trained for, is to be able to operate in these spiritual gifts. They're available to all believers, and that's how Jesus did the miracles he did. Look at Acts 2, chapter 2, and verse 22. The book of Acts. So the day of Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has fallen on about 120 of Jesus' followers. They're speaking in tongues and prophesying, doing all kinds of things. Peter gets up and starts preaching. Acts 2:22, part of his sermon, he says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. Whoa, just a minute. What? I thought Jesus was doing those miracles. There are actually two or three places that talk like this. Jesus wasn't doing the miracles. It was the Holy Spirit working through him that did the miracles. Matter of fact, turn to John chapter 5. No, John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. Now, Jesus is talking here, and he makes what I think is a profound statement. Jesus, let's see, John 10, let's start in verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do them, though you don't believe me, the works that I believe them that you may understand that the Father's in me and that I am in him. He's saying the only thing that I did, in other places he would say, the only things I do are what I hear and see of the Father first. And if you can't believe what I say, at least believe the works, because from those works you can see I'm just a man. It's God the Father working through me, through his Holy Spirit, that's doing these great works. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He didn't say, I choose not to do anything of myself. He said, I can't do anything of myself on my own unless it is something that he's talking in third person, unless he, Jesus, sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus said, I can't even do these things on my own. Don't feel bad for Jesus. He said the same thing about you. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, this is on the night that Jesus was betrayed. They're having the Last Supper together. And John says, I love this scripture. I wish we could go through all of it. We don't have time. He's talking about the vine, the branches, John 15, verses 4 through 5. He says, live in me and let me live in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it lives in the vine, so neither can you unless you live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And listen, he uses the same terminology here. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. The only way you'll ever be effective in ministry is to allow spiritual gifts to operate through you, just like spiritual gifts operated through Jesus. Somebody needs to be healed. When Jesus healed them, the gift of healings was operating through him. When he went to the woman at the well, the gift of word of knowledge and prophetic word was operating through him for that woman. So, should we seek spiritual gifts? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm telling you, we can't do the ministry that God's called us to do without spiritual gifts. And so now the question is, from 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, should we seek spiritual gifts? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. In other words, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to make sure that you understand spiritual gifts. Why did he say that? Turn to chapter 14, verse 1. He starts that chapter by saying, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And then if you look down in verse 39, just to make sure we got the point, he closes that chapter with, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. Paul actually commands us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So what does earnestly desire mean? I can tell you, when Debbie and I first started dating and we realized we were supposed to be married, I earnestly desired her. That was all I could think about. Guys, for you, when you got that car that you had been waiting years for, that you had been earnestly desiring, and you finally got that car, you understand what I'm talking about? Earnestly desire. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking about, well, you know, if you get around to it. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You've heard people say, well, they get all pious. Well, you know, I seek the giver, not the gift. Well, sure, we should seek the giver, but Paul tells us here to seek the gifts. Right? Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. I want to be scriptural, right? So let's talk some about spiritual gifts. I want to kind of explain this to you and define some of the spiritual gifts a little bit. We all have giftings and talents, and most of us want to use those for God. Some folks are just naturally talented in music, for instance. Sometimes our natural talents, we amplify those with training. You're naturally gifted at music, you go take lessons so that you can learn better, so you can do more with your giftings. Bishop this morning was talking about gifts that God has given to the church, gifts of apostle, pastor, teacher, etc. Those aren't spiritual gifts. My natural abilities aren't spiritual gifts. The things that I've learned how to do in my life, I've learned to do lots of things. None of those are spiritual gifts. They're giftings, all right. They're things that I can contribute to the body of Christ, but they're not what I'm defining as a gift of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to help you to understand that my view of this is going to be fairly narrow, and you may not completely agree with me. That's okay. But I want you to understand how I'm using the term. Now, am I suggesting that an apostle doesn't need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do his job? Well, no, of course not. We need to be anointed for everything that we do. Like I think it was Grace was saying, we need to be anointed to raise children. We all need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about just being anointed for whatever job God has given you or whatever to help amplify the giftings that you normally have. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to look at verses 4 through 7. Can you check the time for me, please? Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same Spirit, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, let me tell you some things, at least three things that I picked out of those verses when I read them. First of all, that there are many spiritual gifts. Paul lists 9 of them here. I think there are more than that. And I'm going to list some others for you in a little bit. We talked about that a lot Wednesday night on the prayer line, so I'm not going to get in quite that detail, but we'll cover some of it. So that's the first thing we see. There are a lot of spiritual gifts. The second thing we see is that spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. They're not from your natural talents. They're not from your natural abilities. They're not from man at all, but they come from the Holy Spirit. And the third thing we see is that spiritual gifts have a purpose. That's for the common good. Spiritual gifts are gifts to the person receiving ministry. This is an area that I misunderstood for decades. I would read these verses, and just like everybody had heard preach about them, I thought these gifts that were being talked about here were going to be gifts that the Holy Spirit would give to me for me to use for someone else. Like, oh, he has the gift of healing. Let me show you the absurdity of that, okay? There's an extension cord over here. Do you have a phone charger nearby? Plug that phone charger into the extension cord, okay? And then tell me if it's working. So we've plugged the extension cord into the wall, right? Into the power of the wall. And now he's going to plug his phone charger in the extension cord without unplugging the camera, of course. Okay, see if it's charging. Is there electricity coming through there? That extension cord has the gift of electricity. Huh? What? Would we ever say that? No. The gift is to whatever's receiving the gift from the Holy Spirit. We just happen to be the vessel through which that gift flows. Now, sometimes the Lord gives gifts to us, you know, like speaking in tongues, our personal prayer language. I think that's a gift of the Holy Spirit that really is for us. Paul says it builds us up. It edifies us. And I'm not talking about the public speaking in tongues where it's in a church service and needs to be interpreted. I'm talking about just our personal prayer language. Or if I need healing and I pray for myself and the gift of healing works through me, then I'm receiving that gift of healing. But I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of prophecy. Those are gifts that belong to the Holy Spirit that he then in turn gives to other people. They're temporary. They last just for when the Lord is sending that gift to someone. When it's done, it's over with. It doesn't belong to you. It never did. It just flows through you for the common good, to do good or to help someone else. Today you're going to get a chance to operate some of these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11, Paul lists 9 gifts. And let's just go to verse 11, because we're going to come back to the list of gifts. And by the way, when you read those verses now, where he says, but for the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. When you read it now, you'll forever be changed, because you'll know, oh, that's not that word of wisdom gift is not for the person giving the word of wisdom. It's for the person receiving the word of wisdom. That's a gift to them, right? It comes through the Holy Spirit. See? So anyway, in verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So Deborah and I both have operated in every single gift that I'm going to tell you about today many, many times. And you too can operate in every gift. I've heard preachers talk about, well, you know, maybe God will give me one gift, and if I'm really spiritual, he'll give me two gifts. And they're not your gifts anyway. Why limit yourself? Well, I don't know that I can operate in the gift of word of knowledge. Sure you can. You can operate in any gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit doing it. Okay? Let's see if I can tell you a quick story about using gifts in ministry. So in Uganda this year, I had a 14-year-old girl helping me pray for someone this time. And so we prayed for this lady. She had a physical ailment. I can't remember what it was. Stomach ache, headache, something. And we prayed for her and nothing happened. And so I said, well, maybe there's a blockage. Maybe there's something in the way. And so I looked over at this 14-year-old girl, and she'd watched me do this a couple of times before. And I asked her, I said, are you hearing anything from the Holy Spirit about this person we're praying for? And at first she was shocked that I would even ask her a question like that. And then you could see, all of a sudden, something was dawning on her, and she realized, oh, yeah, I do. I hear the word fear. And so we asked the lady, are you in fear about it? Oh, yeah. Boy, there was a lot of stuff she was in fear about. Okay, let's pray about that fear, about that spirit of fear, and let's deal with that. And so we did. And we did some deliverance healing in the name of Jesus. We cast out the spirit of fear. So guess what? When we prayed for that lady the next time, what do you think happened? Man, she got healed just like that. See? So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are really, I think, mostly there to assist us in ministry.